Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Jerk. You would have to be fairly old to remember the movie by Steve Martin back in 1979, a movie that would never get made today because of obvious reasons if you've seen it. So a jerk, one of the definitions of a jerk is an annoyingly stupid or foolish person. Another definition is an unlikable person, especially one who is cruel, rude, or small-minded. Unfortunately, too many times men and husbands tend to excel in this area. I did not expect the women to laugh quite so quickly. I was about to add, women as well can be jerks. But obviously from the high-pitched laughter, we get agreement from the women that men can be jerks. Pastors can be jerks. Didn't get an amen there, but a lot of quiet hands going up. So the movie The Jerk starts out with Steve Martin telling his story. And if you know this line, he says, I was born a poor black child. And then you realize pretty quickly Steve Martin is not black, and that is not true. But as the story unfolds, he had been dropped off at a poor black family's house in Mississippi, and they had raised him, and he did not realize that he was white and thought that his skin was going to change colors, and it's just bizarre, but it's comedy. I was not raised by a black family and was not born a poor black child. I have friends who have adopted either a black child or multiple black kids, and their experience is not the same as everybody else's. They purposefully took on some kids who needed parents, but there are dynamics for the kids and for the parents. And there was a day in this country when parents would have been warned, are you sure you want to go down this road? I've shared this story before. My daughter lives in Mississippi. And I met, and this is not a really proud day for me, so if you pray for your jerk pastor along the way, I'm going to try to be a little honest. So I remember going over there, and I met one of her husband's friends, Clint's friends, and the husband is white, Mississippi, wife's white, and their child is mixed. And of course, in my brilliant, discerning mind, I decided that she had probably either been married before or gotten pregnant and had a baby with a black man, and then she had married this guy, and it's all going to work out. Except that I was totally wrong. They had gotten married and adopted this child. So I think we all have brilliant moments like this where we've figured it all out, and we know what happened, and we know what's going on, and we know that white people shouldn't adopt black kids, and we feel bad for black kids. And then as white people, we see black kids and with white parents and go, oh, those poor kids, and what were they thinking? But the conversations that a couple of white parents have to have with a mixed kid, a black kid, and you say, well, there's no conversations. They just send them out in the world. If only that were true. If only that were true. Because there are things that happen specifically to black kids that just don't happen to white kids. All, you know, you say, well, bad things happen. I get that. And I want to caution you, I am the jerk today. And if you don't want me to be alone, then you be a jerk too and solve all the problems as I say these things. You have to listen, okay? And one of the reasons why men can be such jerks is that we listen, but we listen formulating answers. We already have the solution. We are not factoring in that there might be feelings, there might be emotions, there might be pain, there might be heartache, there might be some healing that's required. And so we go to solving it so we can get on to the next thing, because this is a trivial matter and life is hard and let's keep moving. But when a black kid comes home to white parents and the kid says, somebody said this to me or this happened today, you get, don't worry about that. It's no big deal. It's just life. Parent probably sits down and listens. So to kind of cut to the chase here a little bit, a few months ago now, I used an example of racial tension, all these things, and said that there's a time when we just need to listen, okay? So just be quiet and listen. The problem is I listened, but I didn't hear. Now I'm going to give you some counseling people in the room. I'm going to go through just a few of these. Does anybody know what parroting is? Something like that. Some of you got a hand out there? So listen to these definitions. Parroting is a conversational technique that can be quite effective in therapy. The therapist loosely repeats what the client has just said. The twin goals of this technique are ensuring that the therapist heard what was said correctly and encouraging the client to further clarify his or her thoughts. Another thing is called reflecting. Is the process of paraphrasing and restating both the feelings and words of the speaker. The purpose of reflecting are to, number one, to allow the speaker to hear their own thoughts and to focus on what they say and feel. Number two, to show the speaker that you are trying to perceive the world as they see it and that you are doing your best to understand their message. And number three, to encourage them to continue talking. Reflecting, it goes on. Reflecting does not involve you asking questions, introducing a new topic, or leading the conversation in another direction. Speakers are helped through reflecting as it not only allows them to feel understood, but it also gives them the opportunity to focus their ideas. This in turn helps them to direct their thoughts and further encourages them to continue speaking. Another thing, mirroring, all similar stuff. He said, well, what does that have to do with this? Every once in a while, I have to call an 800 number, 8, whatever it is, for technical support. I promise you, you do not want to have me on the phone if you are that person. This is probably the only way I know to say this. I can be a total, absolute jerk. And I wouldn't want you around, because if you were around, I'd be all nice and pleasant. But if I'm by myself, and here's what drives me insane about these calls, I just think I'm going to lose my mind. And unfortunately, and this is just how the world's set up, these are trained people. Sometimes they're somewhere else in the world. And they will ask me my name. I tell them my name. Go through all that. You know, how much did you weigh when you were born? All these crazy questions. Enough questions. Is your address the same? It's all the same. Nothing has changed. That should be an okay answer. Nothing has changed. Why do I have to tell you all this? So I'm just gone already. And then they say, so what's going on? Well, I'm having problems. And then they say this. So you're saying that. And they repeat my whole thing I said. Exactly. That's what I said. Just solve the problem already. You don't have to repeat everything I say. And then I say something else. So you're saying that. And then they repeat everything I said. Now, why don't I like that? I don't want to communicate with this person. I just want my problem solved. I want them to fix it as fast as they can and get me off the phone. You say, holy cow, dude, I'd hate to talk to you. And you're exactly right. Now, if I'm that way with a complete stranger, you think, oh, but you're a pastor. You would never be a jerk with a person. You know, we all got blind spots. And so I can come out and be very well-meaning and say, we need to listen to each other. And I do mean that when I say that. I'm not good at it, but I mean that. But then I look at these definitions from a counseling perspective, and how much time do I spend asking someone what they are feeling? You say, well, what if you don't agree with what they're feeling? It doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. I'm trying to find out what they're thinking, how they're feeling, and what's going on with them. Not introducing new subjects and saying, well, that's not right, and discounting that. And you would think, being married to a woman for many years, decades, and 3 daughters, that I would know something about this. I am completely brain dead almost. Now, you say, well, good for him, and we've always thought he was that way. Be careful, because this might be your moment, too, to find out you're a jerk, too. And these things have repercussions in our world, but even more importantly, in our church. Because what have we been trying to do for all these years? Trying to be a family. And the claim is that you can be a Christian, and we've got this all figured out, you know. I'm a Christian man that happens to be white, right? That's my order. You're a Christian person, man or woman, who happens to be black, Hispanic, whatever you are, but there's the sequence. But you know what? Being white is still part of my sequence. And your being black, if you're black, is still part of your sequence, or Hispanic or Asian or Eskimo. I'm going to leave somebody out and then I'm going to get an email. What about us? You know, so, you know, whatever your tier is there. And we all have experiences in those categories. So if I say that I really care about you as a person and as a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, then how am I going to listen to that? Because I have opinions, I have perspective, I have ideas about what's really going on and what should happen. And ultimately, as the jerk that I can be, what do I want? I just want it to go away. I just want this problem solved. Let's wrap this up, put a bow on it, and say, well, we talked about that, right? So we're good to go forward. So I got an email. Now, I get a lot of emails. This was a tough email. And it shut me down because it was from someone that loves me and that I respect. And it matters to me in this case what she thinks. And she happens to be black. And it took her a long time to send this email. And I'm not going to read you the whole thing. She was very kind, but very direct. And in part of it, she said, and I'll read you some of the verses in a minute that she sent me. Part of it, she said this: you may not understand it, but a part of our body, many of the black members of our church, are and have been hurting and broken. As I said to you, and I did a sermon called Blacklash, she said, as I said to you, the Blacklash sermon was just the balm I needed to soothe the pain. Then every sermon since then, where you have mentioned race, has felt like justification for why I and other black people should not be hurting. So instead of hurting alongside me while he heals me, I feel like you're telling me to take my pain to the cross and frowning upon the emotional processing that comes along with that. And I wish she had closed, sincerely, I love you, like she did later, but she didn't. It continued. The best way I can describe this is to use the analogy of a husband with a pregnant wife. Although husbands don't really know how their wives feel during that time, they offer support, give her space to feel her feelings, rub her feet if they're swollen, etc. Now, I do know something about that. But you know what? I'm a man, I'm selfish, and can be a jerk. You say, well, what is she saying? I don't know. You figure it out. What do you think she's saying? Slow down. You say you want to listen? Listen. Don't try to fix everything. You're not the fixer. I am not Jesus. You are not Jesus. He is the only one that heals. One of the things I love, although I got a lot of frustrations with the story of Job, is Job's life just comes crashing down. Everything, all of his kids, all of his possessions, and he'd given all the possessions to get his kids back probably, but all of his kids in a day, they're all dead. And all he's got, he and his wife saying eventually curse God and die. But three buddies show up. And what do? They sit with him for 7 days, just sit with him, and they say nothing. Because sometimes there's nothing to say. Sometimes you just have to be with somebody because they're processing and they're healing. And there's some things that your words are not going to fix. Your presence may help, but it's not going to fix. There are certain things that only God himself in a person's heart can make them whole. So in my quick fix answer, I say, you know what? You know, slavery is a terrible thing. We've already addressed all that. I had nothing to do with that. My family, you know, but it's me and this is now and let's move forward. And what's the problem? What's the problem? And someone else says, well, yeah, I can see how maybe you feel that way. Would you like to know how I feel about it? Well, yeah, I'm sure I would like to know, but you're probably stuck on something and not willing to move forward and let God heal your heart and like, you just need to hurry this up. What clock are you on? Who said it has to be healed that fast? Well, it's just taking too long. Who said? And what areas of my life are taking too long now? What about my personal issues, my struggles? Or if someone knew what was going on with me, could say, hey, big boy, if you think it's taking too long for me, why are you still struggling in that area? So while we're solving everybody's problems, a lot of times we are quick to solve problems that we are ignorant about because we have no understanding of what it is. My friend sitting in the back here got arrested back when a little bit of something puts you in jail for the rest of your life. And I met him when he got out of prison, what was it, 25 years, Alan? You know. So He's my brother, right? He's black. I'm white. He's lost a leg. He's a ton of stuff in his life he brought on himself, but a ton of it is just life, right? So I think Alan and I are pretty close. But do I really know what's up with Alan? Do I really care what's going on with Alan? What Alan has seen, what he's experienced, what he really feels? Do I have time for that? He said, what are you going to do with it if you find out? I don't know. Maybe Alan will just feel like I love him a little bit more. Maybe that's it. So as it turns out, I've done, and I do get people telling me don't use this word, but I'm using it intentionally, and be glad I'm using this one. I have done a crappy job of being a pastor of a church like this, because ultimately these things are traceable to leadership. And if your leader doesn't love the way he's supposed to, then that can season the place and make for trouble. So I apologize to you all, to anybody listening that can't come anymore because you've had enough of this and maybe the damage is done, but I'm trying to say that I'm going to try to do a better job of coming alongside people that are hurting and people that are trying to heal, whatever that pace is. And while we're at that on me, I would encourage men, first off, to think about what kind of man, what kind of husband, what kind of dad, what kind of friend, what kind of person you are. And ask some people in your life if you're a jerk and be willing to hear the answer. And if it's someone you've asked that you know and trust and they love you and you love them, then are you willing to yield to that and say, I'll work on that? And I won't read you the whole deal, but it was very kind, very direct, and addressed some things that I need to address. Go to Romans chapter 12, please. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he goes on to talk about different members in the body, gifts. Go down to verse 8. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And then tremendous verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And then what? And weep with those that weep. Now, I monitor this a little bit. I have a theory that people who run it tight down the middle have a hard time rejoicing, have a hard time weeping. When the rejoicing swings, the weeping swings. And if it swings all the way, you have someone who can cheer someone else. And then when something tragic happens, they burst into tears. And when that person weeps, they weep. But people try to control their lives too much and say, well, I'm going to stay right here in the middle where no one can see anything. And then you go, is anybody home? So how does this apply to us? When we rejoice, we rejoice. But when something goes wrong, we weep. That means we weep together with the person that's weeping. And it is though it is happening to us. Why? Because it is happening to us. We are the body of Christ. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Then a few verses down, much as lies with possible lies with you, be at peace with all men. You know what? We really can get along. There are people I just don't like. Raise your hand if there are people you just don't like. Raise your hand. Thank you for that. Thank God I'm not the only one going to, right? I just don't like the person. Do you know what the Bible tells me? The Bible's not telling me, oh, if, you know, come after me and I'll help you like people. By this will all men know that you're my disciples, that you like one another. No verses about that. How do they know we're his disciples? We love each other. So it's amazing if you choose to love someone, even if you hate it when it happens, you're like, now I'm starting to like this guy. This is terrible. I don't like this person. And then you end up getting along with people that you never would have gotten along with because you decided to love them, right? So if we're a family, we decide to love each other, you'd be amazed what you can work out. Now you say, well, so you're saying there's never a time to call someone out or lead or all that. I just think we jumped the gun way too quick. And I promise you, if I went through this room, just this room, and asked the women in this room, is your husband a jerk? Some of you would say immediately yes. Some would say sometimes. It's been a while. But the categories are pretty similar when it happens. Too fast, too fast to cure it, to fix it. Let's heal this up. Let's move on. We don't have time for this. But a man with a brain and a heart will sit with a woman, even if it drives you insane because you don't understand what she's talking about. Right? Which honestly is irrelevant. And you don't know if you're supposed to solve the problem or just listen. I promise you, err on the side of listen. And when they stop talking, don't say anything. And if they look at you like you're going to say something, I got nothing. You say, well, this is going to be nuts. No, you're going to end up married a whole lot longer than you were going to end up married. Because unfortunately in our world, and I'm not just saying this is everybody, women find someone who will listen. Most women don't have affairs over sex. They have affairs over intimacy. They found some scumbag that would, hey, how are you? What's going on with you? Wow, your husband's such a lucky man. Oh my gosh. How's your day? What's going on with you? Wow, you love art. Oh, wow, me too. Tell me about your, oh my gosh, someone's interested in me? And someone weeps when you weep and they rejoice when you rejoice and there you go. Pick them off. Got a couple sitting here in the middle and I read this at their wedding, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And unfortunately, I read this too much and don't apply it enough. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love does what? Suffers long. It's long-suffering and is kind. Forget the rest of it. Just try that. My brother told me recently that he has an older friend, a mutual friend of ours, successful businessman. And this guy told my brother, he said, I'm working on memorizing scripture. And my brother's like thinking he's going to quote Ephesians to him or something like, you know, here he goes. And he said, the verse I'm working on now starts with fret not. And my brother said, like was waiting, like, yep, that's it. I got the first two words down. Now you're laughing. If he figures out fret not, his life will change. You may be able to quote a whole chapter, but if you haven't figured out the chapter, it's not doing you much good, is it? Fret not. Love suffers long and is kind. Is that me? That may not be me, but that's him. And the way I understand, I became a Christian, he moved into me. So now he's got me in here and he's got him in here. And so I dial that 800 number and he goes, so how's this going to go? Would you like me to speak with them? Or are you going to speak with them? I don't know. You take too long, dude. You just wait a minute. I'll solve this. And then how does that go? And I'll tell you, to be really, really, really honest, where this falls completely apart on me is I'm being impatient and rude. And then they go, can you verify your email? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I probably gave him the church email. So now I soften up. Why? Because I'm a pastor. Where a few seconds before, I was a jerk. Still am, just in disguise now because my email says reunionchurch.org.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's love, right? So I say, I love my wife. Okay, well, let's run it through that filter. How long do I suffer? Not very long. How kind am I? Because see, I know that if I can be a jerk to a stranger on the phone, I can really be a jerk to people I know and claim to love. All right, that's good enough because I can't take any more. So let's do a better job beginning with me and for anyone in the room specifically who's black or listening and watching and could not even come back and I may be the cause, I apologize, and I'm going to try to do a better job. And if you'd like to sit down, I will try to shut up and listen and not try to solve it, but maybe do some weeping when you weep and be a family.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.